There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Oh, hi, Mark.
Good Sunday morning. I get to be with you until noon today right here on The Score. I have a lot for you over the next 3 hours. About 20 minutes from right now, that would make it 9:20. We go down to the desert. We go to Arizona, and we find Bruce Levine, wherever he might be hanging out. Is he in Mesa? Is he in Glendale? We'll find out exactly where Bruce Levine is, and we will talk baseball with him as the intrigue continues for the Cubs and the Sox. Are they intriguing? I don't know. I mean, the Cubs are just kind of, we're all sitting there waiting for the Cubs to do something. There must have been something, and there really hasn't been a lot as it pertains to position players for the Cubs. There's nothing horrible that's sitting there for the Cubs. I mean, you don't look at their roster and say, oh boy, this is bad, this is going to be terrible, they're in rebuild mode. No, it's not like that, but it's obviously just an incomplete team, and it's been a very dormant spring training, and time is beginning to tick. So we'll talk to Bruce Levine about that. I also saw the Cubs are trying Christopher Morel at third base, or using him at third base in spring training mostly at this point. So we'll get into that with Brewster and the White Sox, who you just look for any kind of sign of life right now, considering what their team is not anymore with all the changes coming into this year. So we'll get into that with Brewster in just a little bit. My buddy Mark Schanowski will stop by and give us a bull shot at 10:20 this morning. And then Bears with Josh Schrock at 11:20. And you are welcome too. We are open. Yes. Yes. Tyler Farengold just asked me right before we came out, should we open the lines right away, or do you want to wait a little while? Just open them up. We want you to know that we are open here. So 312 644-6767 if you'd like to call the score. I've got the text line up and refreshed and running. That's at 312-644-6767 as well. So you can jump in here on anything that we are talking about. We're going to get into the Bears here in just a second because I'm in an argument with myself about something with the Bears. I did it last night. I do this. I think this happens to me every single year when it comes to the NBA All-Star Weekend. I always say to myself, "You know what? I am not going to watch this stuff. I am going to catch up on Netflix stuff instead. I don't need it. I'm focused enough on the Bulls. It's a nice break from the NBA. Why do I need to watch the skills competition? Why do I need to watch the three-point contest? Why do I need to watch the Matt McClung show?" And then I'll be damned if I didn't watch all of it last night. So just because of that, a little bit later on, I will bring you a review through my eyes of what I saw in all of the activities last night. Three, the slam dunk, the skills competition as well. There was some pretty interesting, funny, compelling, dramatic, soap operatic type of stuff that went on throughout the whole night. I told you I watched the whole thing. I mean, I couldn't even bring myself to that. I was watching a movie on Apple and I had to stop. You know, I was like, you know what? I'm not going to get too far away from the NBA All-Star Weekend. I couldn't help myself. So again, and this happens to me just about every year where I have this protest in my head and then I end up watching the entire thing. So I feel compelled to bring you what I saw a little bit later on from the night that I watched it. So you're going to listen to me a little bit later on when it comes down to that. Here's the problem I'm having right now with the Chicago Bears. Here is the contemplation I'm having. Just the other night, I hosted the season debut, the season two debut of On the Clock, which is going to be typically on Fridays, 6 p.m. until 7 o'clock, where we just do a full hour of super focus on what's going on with the Bears in the draft because they do have the number one overall pick. So was talking about the other day, you look at the Bears right now and the picks that they have. They've got the two first rounders right now in Caleb Williams and one and nine. I will fill in those blanks here in a second. Man, I'm giving it away. They've got the third rounder, two fourth rounders, and a fifth rounder. So, man, I mean, it's just like it comes right out. That yes, I in my little penciled in Bears mock draft penciled in because things can change and I allow this to be a fluid situation. If you want to play along, you're allowed to change your board and it might change organically as well. You may have no choice in the matter. But yes, at number one, as I said, as I let leak, I think the Bears should take Caleb Williams, the quarterback out of USC. Now here is where this was the point I was trying to get to. So the number nine pick the other day when I did this, I said Malik Nabers, wide receiver, LSU. Not bad if you could get that guy. Widely considered to be the second best wide receiver in this draft. This is presuming that you can't get Marvin Harrison Jr. Nabers would be number two. This is, you know, what was widely thought by just about everybody. Roma Dunze would be third. But here's where I'm stumped now, because obviously you are desperate at this point in time for wide receivers. The Bears just are. They don't have them. It's not even that it's bad. It's just they don't exist right now. So Bears need wide receivers, that's for sure. But I am starting to, and this was a revelation that occurred to me this morning, that I am starting to think about defense now and as it pertains to the draft. And I understand that the Bears defense is on the come. It got better as the season went on. Kind of folded in the final game of the season, but that's all right. I'm not bringing it up or anything. Nope. Didn't bring it up. But if you really want to stay at the level that you are, which is good, and advance to the next level, which could be very good or great or, dare I say, elite, I mean, I'm not going there yet, you still have some things that you need to take care of on that defensive line, and specifically the defensive end. I keep talking about it, that Montez Sweat is kind of all alone right now for the Bears on as far as somebody who can actually get to the quarterback. That guy opposite right now does not exist for the Chicago Bears. It was not there with Yannick Ngakoue last year. It was not there the way I thought it should have been with DeMarcus Walker last year. I mean, he had three and a half sacks coming off a season where he had 7 sacks in Tennessee, which is why the Bears thought, huh, maybe that's on the rise. It was not, unfortunately. Dominique Robinson, not there. Rasheem Green, love watching him play special teams, but that is probably not a guy who you want to keep in heavy rotation. So I am starting to think more about Dallas Turner, the Alabama defensive end, who is 6'4", 245, had 11 sacks this past season. Do I scratch out, as I am like burdening myself with by changing this thing this morning, do I cross out Malik Nabers on my fluid chart here and put Dallas Turner back in that spot? So you have this big time attack right there at defensive end, or are you more prone to thinking about free agency when it comes to that? I don't know. I'm seeing a way right there. And the other day, when we were doing On the Clock, Mike Renner of one of the big Locked On networks, who is a draft analyst for Locked On, was talking about Dallas Turner at number 9 and how that would look for the Bears.
I think they very well may have the choice of the top defensive player on the draft board. I mean, truthfully, I think it could go 8 straight offensive players before we even see a defensive guy come off the board. And so I think that's a prime spot to draft a guy like Dallas Turner from Alabama, who's possibly the best, you know, defensive edge rusher in this draft class.
I mean, and one of the things, too, that I have come to find out from Mike Renner as well from talking to him further is that, so remember last year was very intensive when it came to the talent at defensive end. Very good, obviously, with that class led by Will Anderson. You had other guys like Tyree Wilson, who went to the Raiders. Lucas Van Ness went to the Packers. Remember all these names we talked about? This was so last year, all these guys that we're talking about. Will McDonald as well. It was a deep class, and I remember, I mean, I haven't even named all the guys in that class. You know, we made cases, I felt like, for all of those guys. And so that's that class. Haven't heard much this year, but Dallas Turner, who we're talking about right now, you know, I was told that the only person that would have gone ahead of him in last year's draft, defensive end-wise, was Will Anderson, and that's it. So, you know, better than, in theory anyway, than Tyree Wilson and Lucas Van Ness and Will McDonald and all that very talented class of guys that we all zeroed in on last year. So that's kind of where I am right now. Like this morning, I mean, this whole Bears thing is, like I said, it's a fluid situation. It's a fluid situation when it comes to just about every single part of what has been going on with the Bears in terms of how you look at it. I've been pretty firm with the quarterback situation, like the number one part. I mean, I started out of order today. I started with the number 9 pick today. That doesn't happen very often, but I did. I did it, and I'm comfortable with it. But, yeah, I mean, I look at my board. Caleb Williams is my number 1, absolutely. Drake May is number 2. I'm starting to believe in Drake May a little bit more just with people that I've talked to on the air and off of the air. Just in terms of let's not forget about him, even though Caleb Williams is, again, my number one and most people's number one on the quarterback board. But let's not forget that there were two guys that even when this draft class was coming, we started to hear whispers of it 2 years ago. Drake May was included in it back then. So, don't sleep on that guy. But I think that that's what's going to happen. I mean, I am on record having gone to the final press conference of the year. One of the revelations that I did have was that there was definitely more from the Bears in the box of we might keep Justin Fields. There was more of that than I thought. There wasn't a lot of it, but there was more than I thought, or they're just playing the game very well. So, yeah, I did, and I haven't moved off of that. I kind of like was like, the Bears might keep Justin Fields. That's what I walked away saying about Fields. But I think it's going to go down with Caleb Williams being the guy. I also think that they could handle both those guys in the locker room, but I do think it's going to end up being Caleb. I don't think that Justin Fields is going to end up on the roster. 312-644-6767 is the number. Mark Grody with you until noon today. We're going to talk to Bruce Levine here in just a little bit. One thing, though, that I want you guys to listen to here right now, I've been wanting to hear most of this myself as well, as we're talking about Justin Fields, Luke Getsy landing as the Raiders offensive coordinator. Of course, Luke Getsy, the ex-OC for the Bears, who, I guess I'll say this, even though I was one of the people that supported Luke Getsy, or I think that I thought it was sort of overstated how much Getsy affected or didn't affect what was going on with Justin Fields in the office. I thought he got too much blame. It's just sport. It is in our blood to blame the quarterback and then blame the offensive coordinator. It is definitely sport in the city. And I kind of saw the whole thing happening before. I'm like, wait a minute. It's not all on him or as much on it as people made it out to be. So he lands quickly, but I was a little bit surprised that he got another job as fast as he did, that somebody saw through maybe what was going on with the Bears. But let's hear from Luke Getsy as he was talking about Justin Fields as he takes his new position with the Raiders.
Tremendous growth for Justin. I told you, like I've said when I was there, like he's one of the best human beings I've ever got to work with. It's just the mentality that he brought every day, the consistent approach, the kind of man that he is. Just really, it was a blessing to work with him. And, you know, he was someone that just came to work every day to get better and better. And I think he'll continue to do so.
Yeah, I mean, pretty generalized. And what else is Luke Getsy going to say? And he's always been complimentary of Justin Fields. It didn't work out, and yeah, there's plenty of blame to go around. And at this point, I mean, that had to have been interesting at the end of last year when Justin Fields is doing his exit interview, and what is he saying about Luke Getsy? And then Luke Getsy at some point in time before Luke Getsy was let go, he definitely had to have talked to his bosses and given his full evaluation of Justin Fields. And my guess would be that if they were both talking truthfully, they would say, yeah, they both respect each other, but for some reason it didn't work out, that there was just something missing. I think they would go with that sort of generalized, but I think that's as specific as they would get about something like that. All right, we need to take our first break of the morning. I am Mark Grody, here with you until noon today. We'll get some of your calls here in a little bit. 312-644-6767. But we have got to get to Bruce Levine. He is in Arizona. He doesn't have much time today. So we'll take the break now, and then we'll bring in Bruce to talk about the Cubs and the White Sox coming up next on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays? The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. prepare an emergency kit, and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Yeah, it's no secret that he is, you know, loved in our clubhouse, and even just after 1 year had a really profound impact on our group, both, you know, on the field and off. So obviously everyone's wanting him to come back and wishing the best for him no matter what. But it's, you know, none of us know what's going to happen. I think we've all kind of given him his space and respect for this process that he's earned. But yeah, I think that the mentality is definitely, even if there is an elephant in the room, the mentality is definitely, you know, just focusing on what we have immediately in front of us and the guys that are in the locker room. And if that includes him, that would obviously be amazing. But there's a lot of room for improvement just within what we have in the group ourselves.
Let's get back to more Mark Crotty on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Okay, enough talk. Somebody needs to get Cody Bellinger to the Cup. Somebody. I've heard a lot of credible voices like that one right there. Nico Horner on Inside the Clubhouse yesterday with Bruce Levine and David Haw. It sounds good, for crying out loud. Hoyer, I'm sure, would love to have him here. Somebody just call him and invite him to the party, because the lack of Cody Bellinger with the Chicago Cubs, unfortunately, has been a big story of the Cubs offseason, because there just hasn't been much of a splash. I thought if they were really going to zero in on Cody Bellinger, it wouldn't be this difficult once I realized that they were seriously going after Cody Bellinger once again. Welcome back in. I am Mark Rohde, here with you until noon today. We're open, 312-644-6767 is the number. Let's talk to the host of Inside the Clubhouse, the man that was talking to Nico Horner yesterday on the radio right here on The Score. That is Bruce Levine, who we find in Arizona covering the Cubs and the White Sox. I don't know, did we get anywhere in the Cody Bellinger sweepstakes yesterday with Nico Horner, Bruce?
Well, I think Mr. Ricketts is waiting for fans like you to chip in. So what do you think he's worth? What are you willing to pay? I've heard everybody's idea. Yeah, we have to have him back. But, you know, the reality of what that is, a 5-year deal, a 6-year deal, 7-year deal. At this point, is it a 3-year deal with the opt-outs after both the first 2 years. Will Scott Boras continue to be the most creative and at the same time be able to save face from the fact that there wasn't an 8-year, $200 million contract out there for his player?
Who else is Belly contemplating? Do you know?
He's contemplating anybody that'll make a good offer to him at this point. I would say that, you know, Scott Boras has 5 players that are still out there that are considered all-star caliber, some of them better than that. You know, you have pitching-wise, you know, you have Blake Snell, you have Jordan Montgomery. One guy helped the team win a World Series, the other one is Cy Young. Mm-hmm. You have Bellinger, you have Matt Chapman, and then you have J.D. Martinez. All those guys accomplished all-stars many times, all in the Boras group, and none of them signed on February the 18th, you know, with position players reporting tomorrow all across Major League Baseball.
No, one thing that I brought up yesterday, I guess this is one of those things where I want to make sure it's not the case. Bellinger wants to, or would have no issue coming back to the Cubs. I mean, I'd like warn people, maybe it's possible Bellinger doesn't want to come back to the Cubs. Is that possible at all?
Well, other than your show, he's pretty happy with his Chicago experience. That's what I heard.
What were the specifics
on the
show?
Mark, that was the first question I asked him as he exited in Milwaukee last year, the last game of the season for the Cubs up there. And I said, you know, what is the experience like? What's more for your significant others? He said she loves it in Chicago. We love it here. It's been a terrific experience. But, you know, at that point, and still to this day, he's not willing to say, yeah, I'll take a cut to come back to the Cubs.
Right.
I'm 28.
Right.
I'm coming off of a prove-it year. I'm the comeback player of the year in the National League. I helped drive this team. I played Gold Glove center field, Gold Glove first base. I missed a month, and I still had huge numbers. I led all of baseball in RBI from July 1st on was 68.
Mm-hmm.
So with all those things there, the one thing that's missing in this element between he said, she said, and we want you, I want to be back, is the fact that nobody said anything negative. It's all about the money. It's all about the years. I mean, I did hear at some point, you know, the Cubs Metrics had him with a softer contact than they thought was great. But that is a product, Mark, of him learning how to adjust and hitting the ball to left field with 2 strikes, choking up, taking a single to left field rather than striking out or grounding out. You know, it showed he was a terrific ball player last year. So everybody wants him back. I believe he wants to be back, but it's the baseball business getting in the way.
Yeah, I think the thing, I just needed to hear that. I thought that that was the case. It felt like that to me just following the Cubs last year, but that now I know. And please feel free to have him, whatever he wants me to do differently on the radio too, like have him send me the evaluation. And
he said you have too much fun with the audience.
Only when you're on, Bruce. That's why I keep having you on the radio to make this show fun. That's the idea. What else is on Nico Horner's mind? Had him on the radio yesterday. Anything he's adding to his repertoire?
He's going to try to hit more home runs and at the same time not lose the great batting stroke that he has, and that's a complication for any hitter who has done as well as he has. I mean, he had a terrific year last year. Moved from shortstop where he should have won a Gold Glove in 2022 and won a Gold Glove at second base in 2023. Had huge hits, hit at the top of the order, stole 30 bases, is nice to young children and animals. I mean, the guy is just, you know, he did everything he wanted to do. Now he'd like to be able to turn on a little bit more power. He's a strong kid. I mean, he's worked hard in the weight room and off seasons. But he doesn't, the fine line, Mark, is you don't want to change your swing to accommodate more power. You don't want to give up your contact mode. So hard contact is the key. Lifting the ball and getting it out of the ballpark maybe 15 to 20 times a year, that would be a nice addition for Nico Hoerner.
Yeah, and his awareness about himself is just great. So no matter what happens, if trying to hit more homers affects him, I know that he would readjust. So I feel comfortable with that. Love to hear it. Bruce, one more thing on the Cubs before I ask you a couple things about the White Sox. I saw you tweeting yesterday on how the Cubs right now are using Christopher Morel. You and I were just talking about this the other day.
Right. He's going to start this spring playing third base all the time. Yesterday, you know, Craig Counsell told me and, you know, some other media people that this is the goal. He's got to get him in the lineup. He thinks, just like the Cubs organization thinks, that at 26 that he's too young to be a full-time DH. He's too athletic. Give him a try at third base. That's where he played during winter ball this year. Cubs coaches were down there with him in pregame duties, hitting him ground balls at all positions, but a lot at first base, a lot at third base. So they want him to be a position player. They want him to be an everyday player, not a DH. This will be his opportunity to show, you know, Craig Counsell that he can handle that position. And, you know, I think it's a good call. You want to keep the DH clear for other people, other types of players. And, again, athletically, you know, the guy's a good baseball athlete. He hasn't accomplished much with a glove. Everywhere he's gone, the ball's hit it and not stayed in the web. I dislike when organizations say he can play everywhere.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I mean, you can too, Mark. You could play any position, but
I know.
You're not necessarily going to be good at it. Okay, so that's the thing in modern baseball that bothers me when they say, well, he'll move all over the place.
Yeah.
Yeah, but bottom line is he any good at those positions?
Uh-huh.
There's not a lot of Ben Zobrist or Craig Counsell who can move position to position and play average to above average defense while adding your bat in the lineup. So Morel has to be in there. He hit 37 combined home runs last year, 26 in the majors, 11 in 1 month at Iowa last year before he was called up. So with that in mind, they need that power bat, and he's still developing. He's still learning how to hit. I think the sky is the limit for the kid.
God, it is, man, because that bat, there is definitely something different in the sound off of his bat and just some of the stuff that he can do at the plate. And if you could somehow just rein in a little bit of that and find something where he doesn't have to be a gold glover, but just representative. And such a great point by you. You're right. Like, I think maybe it was Joe Maddon who spoiled us all by making us feel like everybody could just be Ben Zobrist, and that you just press all these magical buttons like Joe Maddon did for a couple years with the Cubs, made it look easy and just made it look like, yeah, any team can have that guy. And, you know, that's what, you know, at best, that's what Morel is. And I think we thought that was going to be the case, but we did. We are all guilty of projecting that on Christopher Morel instead of letting it happen organically.
Now, I mean, there is a lot of progress still has to be made. Both in 2022 and 23, Mark, he slumped toward the end of the year, okay? Struck out too much, not a lot of hard contact, sometimes not playing. So I think those experiences will help him. Again, if you're living with 600 at bats from Morel, you should anticipate 35 home runs. You should anticipate 90 to 100 RBI, and you should probably anticipate 180 strikeouts. Okay,
yeah.
Those are the things that you probably are looking at.
Uh-huh.
And personally, I can live with 180 strikeouts if you have that much production.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a lot of pop, and at this point, the Sox are, or the Cubs are in a position to accept that. Speaking of the White Sox, because they were on my brain, and that's why I slipped that name right in there, a guy that's on my mind, I meant to ask you about Tim the other day, and I know you mentioned the name Mike Soroka at one point in time in our conversation, but this, you know, for people who don't know, this is a former big-time prospect of the Atlanta Braves. He's 26 years old. He was a 28th or 29th overall pick to the Braves. He was an opening day starter in 2020 and has really since been tortured by injuries. What can you tell us about his development so far this spring training and what you think, what do you project for him potentially, Bruce?
Well, first of all, number one pick way back. He's not old, but he's been around a while. He was a runner-up for Rookie of the Year in 2019, won 13 ball games with an ERA under 3. So they were projecting him as the number one pitcher with the Atlanta Braves. And then injury has had him missing a lot of the last few years. He was able to be purchased in a trade with Atlanta because Atlanta has an awful lot there, and Soroka is just, excess for them at this point in time. It could be a real fine for the Chicago White Sox if he can stay healthy. That's the big if. And if he can, this might be, a 12 to 15 game winner for the Chicago White Sox, a guy that can hopefully start giving you a lot of innings. He still has to build up his innings and proof that he can be out there 30 times every year, but nonetheless, he's done it before, and the White Sox are hoping that he can do it again.
Hey, Bruce, is this going to be one of those seasons for the White Sox this year where we're going to see a lot of that kind of stuff, where the White Sox are going to try stuff, whether Soroka's around, on this roster soon, I don't know, but do you think because of the nature of the roster that they will try stuff?
Yeah, I don't see why not. In other words, an experimental season.
Bringing guys up and get names that people may not even heard from the Sox
system.
You hate to tell
fans of the White Sox that you're going to see experiments and that you're hoping to build guys up to be better major league players at the major league level. But I'm afraid a lot of the players that you're going to see are about player development at the major league level for the White Sox and proving themselves once again. Some of the younger veterans that have been brought in, guys like the Young and Lopez and people like that, Stassi, the catcher behind Maldonado. These are the guys that have had good careers and then some downtimes in different places as well. So they're coming in to function. The idea that the White Sox can play solid games, good defense, good clubhouse guys, be role models as well as contributors to the 2024 team. But, yeah, you have to say it's a team in development. People hesitate now talking about rebuilds because, the White Sox 2 years ago were, in the playoffs. And they were considered in a window of contending with a pretty flush team, and within a year that all fell apart. You're looking at a rebuild again of the Chicago White Sox. So I know fans don't like it. They don't have the stomach for it. It's not fair, but I do think you're going to see a better brand of baseball played on the South Side. You're going to see people more involved in the game that's on the field. You're going to see better defense. You're going to see, Pedro Grifol being able to manage teams and do some things, hopefully, to try to win games. Are they going to win 85 or 90 games? I don't think so, okay? I don't think they have enough to do anything like that. Can they win 70 to 75 games and improve by 10, 12 games from last year and, be looked at as a team that's building with some young pitchers and players down the road? I think that's the goal.
I think you might be underestimating Sox fans. I think that they would accept a rebuild. I think the only exception the Sox fans are taking right now, or were taking, and it's leveled off a bit, is not really going outside the organization for GM and status quo for the manager. You know, I think like in this era, nobody wanted to see that core go under, and the Sox kept it and kept rolling it out there. So I think Brewster, and maybe you felt differently from hosting the baseball show and covering baseball, but I feel like Sox fans have kind of accepted that this is not the core that's going to get them to the next level.
Core meaning the front office or the
No, the team? Core of players. The core of players that obviously has started to break up already.
Well, I think your premise is probably right, you know, that since Chris Getz was the head of player development, that Jerry stayed in the organization. But if you look at his additions and the people that he brought in, and yeah, he's brought in a couple people from his Kansas City days, but, you know, he's brought in Brian Bannister from outside the organization as director of pitching. He's brought in Josh Barfield as the assistant general manager from Arizona, where he was a player development guy. Player development guy in Arizona. Think about where Arizona was and all the young players that contributed to the National League champion Arizona Diamondbacks. He has gone out and found really good people out there. So I think give him time and you'll find out that Chris Getz is different. Chris Getz is smart and that he can build a very good team here. I've known Chris for a long time since he was a player with the White Sox. I think that given the opportunity here, he will do a good job.
I do love a good spring training veteran, and Mike Moustakas is that for the White Sox. What are you thinking for Moustakas? How would he fit in?
Well, I mean, you know, I don't think White Sox fans are going to get excited about an older player like Moustakas, whose better days are behind him. But it's the type of player that they want to bring in with the character and the guys that can help the clubhouse as much as they can on the field. I know those are coaches and managers usually, and that's their job. But in this case, the clubhouse for the White Sox needed so much work. And having veterans around that have done it, that have gone to the World Series, that have been accomplished all-stars, it's always a good idea. Bottom line is, he still has to be able to play, okay? He's got to prove that he can go out there and be a contributor or else he doesn't stay around. I like the idea because the player has great makeup. He's got a great reputation. You still want players out there that can contribute on the field as well.
Bruce, you're the best as always. I want you to have a fabulous day. Will you go do that, please?
I will, because I'm lucky enough to be here in Arizona where the sun is out and baseball is being started and played, and I'm just a lucky guy. Mark, have a great day.
Thanks, Bruce. There goes Bruce Levine from 670thescore.com. You can find him on Twitter at MLB Bruce Levine. He's the absolute best. Just, yeah, you got to be listening with Bruce. He goes serious, and then he'll zing you. And if you're not listening, you're going to get hit, and you're not going to know what hit you. That's Bruce. This is a hilarious text message from the 847. Bunch of text messages. Of course, my eyes land on this one. 12 to 15, Bruce, you and Grody are disgusting. I don't know. What was the 12 to 15 reference? This guy thinks that Bruce and I are being called White Sox apologists. Maybe I need to review the audio during the break, because I was not sensing that out of me necessarily. When we come back, calls and texts, 312-644-6767. I watched all the All-Star stuff last night. I will have a review of that forthcoming. Talk some Bulls with Mark Schanowski coming up at 10:20. I am Mark Grody. This is Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Let's get back to more Mark Grody on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Uh-oh, Justin, I am being told that we have a Cubs-White Sox trade proposal to get to. Stand by for that. We also have a very hot Sunday morning texter. Hot in the angry way. just so mad about the White Sox, our White Sox content. Please stop calling this team the Diamondbacks. Grody, stop pandering. The bleep hole wants $1.2 billion. Bruce, you're apologizing for Reinsdorf. They will win 60 games. Cut the bleep. 847, take it easy, man. Relax. Yo, you're going to get us all in trouble. Take it easy. Man, just hot. A bevy just came splattering all over the text line. It was bloody regarding the Sox content. Bruce and I just having a relaxed conversation about the White Sox, and we're getting bludgeoned by this guy. Happy Sunday morning. I'm Mark Grody. 312-644-6767 is the number. Without further ado, let's go to Olin in Willowbrook. Owen, you piqued my interest, man. You got right to the front of the line. You said you got a Cubs-Sox trade for us?
Yeah, I do, Mark. Before I get to that real quick, I like a little bit of what Getz is doing. I was not a believer in the Sox style play the last 5 years.
Uh-oh.
I didn't like it.
You're going to be taking the wrath of the 847 is coming your way, pal. But no, go ahead.
I'm looking forward to seeing the Sox at least catch the ball. I'm not saying they're going to win 80 games, but at least if they catch the ball and they can, you know, play a different style of game. I don't believe in Grifol leading them, but at least they got veterans that might know how to play the game. That'll be refreshing to see guys that throw to the right base, play some outfield defense, field the ball. You know, yeah. So that's what I'm looking forward to. I'm not expecting.
Okay.
The other thing is, the other thing that I think has been a problem for the Sox is Sheets. I think if Sheets bats 500 or 600 times, he's a 35, you know, HR guy with 100 RBIs, and he's never had the opportunity. So I think what you do to fix that logjam, if the Cubs don't sign Bellinger, and I think that's a big if they don't sign him. They need a first baseman. So either trade Vaughn or Sheets to the Cubs.
Wow.
And that solves the Sheets problem.
Wow.
You know, because either one of those guys would tear up Wrigley Field, I think.
So this would be incumbent upon the White Sox getting Bellinger, though?
No. I just said if Bellinger doesn't sign with the Cubs. Who knows where he's
going. Oh, I see. I'm sorry. I got you. You spoke very clearly.
Yeah, so if that falls through, this could be a plan B, and I think it's a win-win for both teams. And I don't know who the Sox would ask for. Hey, you could ask for Morrell. The Sox are always looking for middle infielders.
Yeah.
Look at something like that, and it fits a need maybe of both teams. And because I'd love to see Sheets get 500 or 600 at-bats. Because the guy, he can drive the ball. He might strike out a lot, but he can drive the ball, and I never think he's never really been given a full chance with this team.
Yeah, well, thanks for the call, man. I appreciate that. I always love thinking like that and the hustle. I don't know. Like, sometimes you look at a guy who has limited usage and he thrives in the areas that he has put in, that should be not a warning, but a pretty good sign that he is being put in the best possible positions to succeed, and that if that was going to be any better, he would probably play. And I understand that takes some trust. I always think back to the Cubs and Joe Maddon and Albert Elmora, and how people were just so angry that Albert Elmora, like, that he would not be playing every single day, and Joe would only put him in against lefties sometimes. And it was just this whole, like, village of, and I loved Albert Elmore, one of my favorite dudes on that team, pretty good defensive player, all of that kind of stuff, but he just wasn't an everyday player, and guess who knew it? That was definitely Joe Maddon. So, long way of saying, I know, it's like the Cubs and the Sox links, but Gavin Sheets probably is in a role that he has been in for a reason. That said, the right field is wide open for the White Sox right now. There's a job to be had in right field for the White Sox. Luis Robert, all good out there in center field, and Andrew Benintendi. But right field wide open for the Sox. And then to the caller's point as well, a better brand of baseball. Yeah, that's what the White Sox like. Have to be this year because they do not have a ton of super dynamic talent on the team. If they're not defensively sound and hustle and all of that and good locker room and all of that kind of stuff. Like if that's not there at the minimum, then you have a real problem, because unfortunately that's probably going to be what it is. I feel like, thinking about the White Sox, that a guy that Sox fans are going to like, and I think I am projecting success for Paul DeJong this year of the White Sox. It just seems like a guy who's good, because he is that type of hustle ball player, you know, who is talented, but obviously was left to be with the White Sox. So I do think that he's going to be one of those guys. Like, I always like circle new guys on teams that, you know, I can just kind of project them as playing well and being well liked as well. So you got Paul DeJong and Nicky Lopez. I think that that'll make for a pretty good double play combo right there. And Yoan Moncada. This is going to be, now he's starting to become, you know, one of the, you know, the, as the core of what was supposed to be of the core of this team starts to dwindle, you know, his position on this team now and going forward becomes pretty intriguing as well. 312-644-6767. Let's go to Jerry in Beach. Hello, Jerry. Hello, Jerry.
Are you talking to me?
Yeah, Jerry, I'm talking to you, man.
Well, okay, here's the problem. My name is not Jerry, it's Jim, okay?
Oh.
Okay, but anyway, sorry, Jim. Talk to you. I love your shows, brother.
Thank you. Thank
you. You're real, real good.
Thank you.
I just wanted to give you a quick call on a couple of points. Bears and White Sox. With the White Sox, we saw how they played last year. For them to play sharp, clean baseball, defensive baseball, knowing how to, you know, hit the cutoff man, enthusiastic baseball, I'll believe that when I see it. I don't think it's going to happen. And with the Bears, developing a top three quarterback, picking first in the draft with, in all likelihood, Caleb Williams. My thought there is, if he's got any weaknesses, the Bears are going to exploit those weaknesses to the max. I'll believe that when I see it, too. Am I a little skeptical?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, I would say so.
I think it's my fault for calling you Jerry to start the call. I think it is. Absolutely. Good call, though, man. I appreciate you waiting, and sorry about that. I thought he was going to come at me there first. It was quite the antithesis. I mean, he was very nice. But when he said, here's the problem. My name's Jim, not Jerry. Oh, whoa. But then we got there. But, and to the, yeah, I'm just going to accept that Bears thing you said. Yes, you should be skeptical, because the Bears organization has earned skepticism when it comes to the quarterback position and churning them out. So I'm not going to sit here and try to tell you, oh, yeah, you're wrong. This is a different regime, and don't worry about what's happened in the past. When it comes to the Bears quarterback, you can link things to the past, okay? The past is not always for cowards and losers. So I will accept that, Jim, and I'm not just saying that because I called you Jerry. As for the White Sox, you said you'll believe it when you see it, that they're going to play harder. They've got no choice. That's all they have. I don't know who's pitching for this team this year, other than Dylan Cease, if he doesn't get traded, and Michael Kopech, the same old, okay, where are we now? Where are we now with Michael Kopech? What's the thing? Is he hurt? Is he struck? Is his ERA near 5? Yeah. He's feeling a little it's always something. Like, I always have to go back and look through my notes and see exactly where we are with Michael Kopech. But he's there. He's there. Then after that, who is Tuki Toussaint? Tuki? I liked watching Tuki pitch last year, but that's probably one of your starters. Can Garrett Crochet break into the starting rotation? I'd love to see it. I love Garrett Crochet. I do. And then, you know, we talked about it with Bruce, but Mike Soroka. I feel like these types of seasons are made for guys like that. Like I mentioned, Paul DeJong, who, like I said, I think Sox fans are going to dig. And then somebody like Mike Soroka at least roll the dice on a guy, a 26-year-old, former first-round pick, former opening day starter, super talented prospect, all of that, who has been dogged by injuries. The Sox have an opportunity right there to maybe be the team that resurrects him. So it's stuff like that that you look for from the White Sox. I don't discount the possibility of a surprise party from the Sox where they come out hot or they're competing. Sometimes you can't predict those things, but I mean, looking at it realistically and pound for pound, you try to figure out exactly what this season is all about. Coming up in just a little bit, we're going to talk to Mark Schanowski about the Chicago Bulls. I'll talk about the All-Star festivities in the NBA last night. We'll keep the Bears talk hot coming up next as well. It's Mark Grody on Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays? The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Let's get back to more Mark Grody on Sports Radio 670, The Score.
Uh-oh, Justin, I am being told that we have a Cubs-White Sox trade proposal to get to. Stand by for that. We also have a very hot Sunday morning texter. Hot in the angry way. The angry way. Just so mad about the White Sox, our White Sox content. Please stop calling this team the Diamondbacks. Grody, stop pandering. The bleep hole wants $1.2 billion. Bruce, you're apologizing for Reinsdorf. They will win 60 games. Cut the bleep. 847, take it easy, man. Relax. Yo, you're going to get us all in trouble. Take it easy. Man, just hot. Just the... A bevy just came splattering all over the text line. It was bloody regarding the Sox content. Bruce and I just having a relaxed conversation about the White Sox, and we're getting bludgeoned by this guy. Happy Sunday morning. I'm Mark Grody. 312-644-6767 is the number. Without further ado, let's go to Olin in Willowbrook. Owen, you piqued my interest, man. You got right to the front of the line. You said you got a Cubs-Sox trade for us?
Yeah, I do, Mark. Before I get to that real quick, I like what Getz is doing. I was not a believer in the Sox style play the last 5 years.
Uh-oh.
I didn't like it.
You're going to be taking the wrath of the 847 is coming your way, pal. But no, go ahead.
I'm looking forward to seeing the Sox at least catch the ball. I'm not saying they're going to win 80 games, but at least if they catch the ball and they can, you know, play a different style of game. I don't believe in Grafal leading them, but at least they got veterans that might know how to play the game. That'll be refreshing to see guys that throw to the right base, play some outfield defense, field the ball. So that's what I'm looking forward to. I'm not expecting.
Okay.
The other thing that I think has been a problem for the Sox is Sheets. I think if Sheets bats 500 or 600 times, he's a 35, you know, HR guy with 100 RBIs, and he's never had the opportunity. So I think what you do to fix that logjam, if the Cubs don't sign Bellinger, and I think that's a big if they don't sign him. They need a first baseman. So either trade Vaughn or Sheets to the Cubs.
Wow.
And that solves the Sheets problem.
Wow.
You know, because either one of those guys would tear up Wrigley Field, I think.
So this would be incumbent upon the White Sox getting Bellinger, though?
No. I just said if Bellinger doesn't sign with the Cubs. Who knows?
I'm sorry. I got you. You spoke very clearly.
Yeah, so if that falls through, this could be a plan B, and I think it's a win-win for both teams. And I don't know who the Sox would ask for. Hey, you could ask for Morrell. The Sox are always looking for middle infielders.
So you
look at something like that, and it fits a need maybe of both teams. And because I'd love to see Sheets get 500 or 600 at-bats. Because the guy, he can drive the ball. He might strike out a lot, but he can drive the ball, and I never think he's never really been given a full chance with this team.
Yeah, well, thanks for the call, man. I appreciate that. I always love thinking like that in the hustle. I don't know. Like, sometimes you look at a guy who has limited usage and he thrives in the areas that he has put in, that should be not a warning, but a pretty good sign that he is being put in the best possible positions to succeed, and that if that was going to be any better, he would probably play. And I understand that takes some trust. I always think back to the Cubs and Joe Maddon and Albert Elmora, and how people were just so angry that Albert Elmora, like, that he would not be playing every single day, and Joe would only put him in against lefties sometimes. And it was just this whole, like, village of, and I loved Albert Elmore, one of my favorite dudes on that team, pretty good defensive player, all of that kind of stuff, but he just wasn't an everyday player, and guess who knew it? That was definitely Joe Maddon. So, long way of saying, I know, it's like the Cubs and the Sox links, but Gavin Sheets probably is in a role that he has been in for a reason. That said, the, you know, right field is wide open for the White Sox right now. There's a job to be had in right field for the White Sox. But, you know, Luis Robert, all good out there in center field, and Andrew Benintendi. But right field wide open for the Sox. And then to the caller's point as well, a better brand of baseball. Yeah, that's what the White Sox, like, have to be this year, because they do not have a ton of super dynamic talent on the team. If they're not defensively sound and hustle and all of that, and good locker room and all of that kind of stuff, like if that's not there at the minimum, then you have a real problem, because unfortunately that's probably going to be what it is. I feel like, thinking about the White Sox, that a guy that Sox fans are going to like, and he's going, I think I am projecting success for Paul DeJong this year of the White Sox. It just seems like a guy who's good, because he is that type of hustle ball player, you know, who is, you know, talented, but obviously was left to be with the White Sox. But I do think that he's going to be one of those guys. Like, I always like circle new guys on teams that, you know, I can just kind of project them as playing well and being well liked as well. So you got Paul DeJong and Nicky Lopez. I think that'll make for a pretty good double play combo right there. And Yoan Moncada,
this is going to be, he's starting to become, one of the, as the core of what was supposed to be of the core of this team starts to dwindle, his position on this team now and going forward becomes pretty intriguing as well. 312-644-6767. Let's go to Jerry in Beach. Hello, Jerry. Hello, Jerry.
Are you talking to me?
Yeah, Jerry, I'm talking to you, man.
Well, okay, here's the problem. My name is not Jerry, it's Jim, okay? Okay, but anyway,
sorry,
Jim. Talk to you, Mark. I love your shows, brother.
Thank you. You're
real, real good.
Thank you.
I just wanted to give you a quick call on a couple of points. Bears and White Sox. With the White Sox, we saw how they played last year. For them to play sharp, clean baseball, defensive baseball, knowing how to hit the cutoff man, enthusiastic baseball, I'll believe that when I see it. I don't think it's going to happen. And with the Bears, developing a top three quarterback, picking first in the draft with, in all likelihood, Caleb Williams. My thought there is if he's got any weaknesses, the Bears are going to exploit those weaknesses to the max. I'll believe that when I see it, too. Am I a little skeptical?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, I would say so.
I think it's my fault for calling you Jerry to start the call. I think it is. Absolutely. Good call, though, man. I appreciate you waiting, and sorry about that. I thought he was going to come at me there first. It was quite the antithesis. I mean, he was very nice. But when he said, here's the problem. My name's Jim, not Jerry. Whoa. But then we got there. I'm just going to accept that Bears thing you said. Yes, you should be skeptical because the Bears organization has earned skepticism when it comes to the quarterback position and churning them out. So I'm not going to sit here and try to tell you, oh, yeah, you're wrong. This is a different regime, and don't worry about what's happened in the past. When it comes to the Bears quarterback, you can link things to the past, okay? It's not the past is not always for cowards and losers, so I will accept that. Jim, and I'm not just saying that because I called you Jerry. As for the White Sox, you said you'll believe it when you see it that they're going to play harder. They've got no choice. That's all they have. I don't know who's pitching for this team this year other than Dylan Cease if he doesn't get traded. And Michael Kopech, the same old where are we now? Where are we now with Michael Kopech? What's the thing? Is he hurt? Is he struck? Is his ERA near 5? Yeah. He's feeling a little it's always something. Like I always have to go back and look through my notes and see exactly where we are with Michael Kopech. But he's there. He's there. Then after that, who is Tuki Toussaint? Tuki? I liked watching Tuki pitch last year, but that's probably one of your starters. Can Garrett Crochet break into the starting rotation? I'd love to see it. I love Garrett Crochet. I do. And then, we talked about it with Bruce, but Mike Soroka. I feel like these types of seasons are made for guys like that. Like I mentioned, Paul DeJong, who, I think Sox fans are going to dig. And then somebody like Mike Soroka, at least roll the dice on a guy, a 26-year-old, former first-round pick, former opening day starter, super talented prospect, all of that, who has been dogged by injuries. The Sox have an opportunity right there to maybe be the team that resurrects him. So it's stuff like that that you look for from the White Sox. I don't discount the possibility of a surprise party from the Sox where they come out hot or they're competing. Sometimes you can't predict those things, but looking at it realistically and pound for pound, you try to figure out exactly what this season is all about. Coming up in just a little bit, we're going to talk to Mark Schanowski about the Chicago Bulls. I'll talk about the All-Star festivities in the NBA last night. We'll keep the Bears talk hot coming up next as well. It's Mark Grody on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays? The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.